You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football tonight. My name is Matt. His name is Mark. What is going on, man? The Steelers are in the freaking playoffs, dude.
Ho, ho, ho. It's the Christmas version of the show. And yes, our present, Matt, we got into the playoffs. I'll be honest with you. I was talking to you before the show. I really think or thought the Chiefs were going to beat us in a real close game. I thought we were going to struggle, you know, in the red zone defensively because they do so many good things with their tight ends and running backs, and we struggle to cover those. But kudos to the defense. Six sacks. They harassed Smith all day. They shut down Jamal Charles. You know, of course, the secondary, that's still issues all the way around. But and the offense was efficient enough to do what they needed to do. And yeah, man. So now we play Cincy next week for the division title.
Yeah, man, it does not get any better than that. After a playoff drought, the Steelers are back in the playoffs thanks to the 20-12 win at Heinz Field versus the Chiefs. I'm the same way as you are, man. I was fully expecting the Steelers to struggle in this game, and they did at times struggle in this game on offense. But I was based on just the way this team has performed off and on all year, their whole Jekyll and Hyde routine. I fully expected them to struggle, and I was just waiting for something to happen in the end and for them to blow this opportunity. But you know, maybe the football gods are smiling on us for once after the last few years. But, you know, at a time when the offense has been so red hot, especially over the last half of the season, the defense is what really stepped up. I mean, the ageless wonder, James Harrison, Silverback, just a machine on the field, just a total monster wreaking havoc. He had, what, 1.5 sacks and I think it was 7 tackles or so. I'm looking up right now. 7 total tackles, I believe. An amazing display of, you know, the defense stepping up really when they had to.
You know, I mean, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon a few times. And boy, if you're Kansas City, you really got to wonder about your number one draft pick there from 2 years ago, Eric Fisher, because Harrison had his way with that youngster. He was coming hard off that edge. He was just after Alex Smith all game long. Cam Hayward, you can't say enough about where his game has come to, you know, really over about the last two seasons now. I mean, he too was in the face of Alex Smith. It was just so neat to see that really that front seven, because the secondary still got issues, and we'll get into that. But, you had those two guys. You had Jason Worlds come up with 2 huge sacks, just constantly putting Kansas City in problem situations. And you know what? I still stand by what I've been saying all along. I really do think Dick LeBeau, you know, it's time to step aside regardless of what this team does in the playoffs. And I feel that way just because I think the system needs a bit of an overhaul. We got to do some different things because it is so recognizable to most teams now. But I do have to give him credit, too, and I there's no way I can't. The guy has put together some really interesting combinations of rotations and guys on the field at the same time, and it's paid off. And kudos to him. But you know, you got to give him credit even when you don't necessarily agree with him.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, this was a game where, I mean, let's face it, the Chiefs offense is not exactly prolific here. I mean, Alex Smith is a game manager type of QB. He's very, he stands tall in the pocket. He's very patient. He's not going to make a whole lot of mistakes. He'll take whatever the defense gives him. And, you know, they want to run the ball. They want to do play action. And so I think in a game like this, it was interesting to see that they actually did take to the air more than what I thought they would. And then that it was nice to see that the Steelers were able to get a pass rush here, and have a bunch of different players step up, especially. I mean, obviously, you know, you talked about Worlds and, of course, Hayward and Harrison. Will Allen, had a good game, even though yep. And the secondary, of course, is going to continue to struggle. But I think they caught somewhat of a break in the sense that the Chiefs are not a big-time passing game. So I think that kind of played in their favor a little bit. But, make no mistake, the defense really, I think, kind of saved the day for them and really kept, you know, their opportunities to a minimum, especially especially late in the game. They were able to come up with some big plays late to hold them. So it was nice to see the defense to be able to step up here, because they're going to need it. You know, coming up this week against the Bengals, and then obviously in the playoffs, they're going to have more performances like that.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has kind of set the bar a little high for itself now. And, you know,
you're
right.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, you know, I think the key point of what you made, Matt, is that, you know, it wasn't like the receivers on this Chiefs team were household names. I mean, Dwayne Bowe was basically, from what I understand, a shell of himself. He was not feeling well. He had some injury issues and was doing everything he could just to be on the field. And then they had a rookie starting on the other side, you know, and I mean, this was not a great offensive system by any means that the Steelers shut down. However, they still had Jamaal Charles. They still had, you know, a nice group of tight ends, and they still had tremendous ability, second in the league in the red zone in terms of scoring touchdowns. So you still give your team kudos for that. And, you know, now it's going to be real interesting tonight. I'm kind of anxious to watch this Cincinnati-Denver game, because, you know, Cincinnati can lose and still win the division by beating us next week. But if they go down tonight, then they might end up having to win next week, depending upon, I believe, what San Diego and Baltimore and potentially Buffalo do next week. So they're certainly not out of the woods. So it's going to be really fun tonight, and then, of course, next Sunday night.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Although it was nice to see the Ravens go down. I mean, that was just nice. I mean, right?
Oh,
I mean,
we're
Steelers fans seeing Baltimore lose when they pretty much controlled their own destiny as well. I mean, I'm just like, wow. I totally was not expecting them to drop that game. But now I believe whether or not they win next week, they need help to get in, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, they need a San Diego loss, and I think a Cincinnati loss, because I think they need
both
of those losses, and then because San Diego beat Baltimore there this year,
yep.
Of course we're already in, and of course if Cincinnati wins next week, they would win the division, we'd be the wild card, and so yeah, they need a little bit of help.
Yeah, well, good for them, and I hate them, and they suck, so let's hope they don't get in. but I tell you, I heard a little bit on Sirius today when Tom was talking to the host there in the morning while I was driving around today. He mentioned, you know, how some of the guys are stepping up here on the defense, and, you know, maybe they needed the defense in general maybe just needed, you know, this because there's so many new faces, and you know, they may have just needed, you know, this last month or so to really kind of come together and start to show what they can do. Obviously, they're still not on the level as far as the offense goes in terms of being able to take over a game, but I think they're definitely improving. And I mean, what can you say about Lawrence Timmons? I mean, this dude is just absolutely, I mean, he has responded every year, year in, year out, no matter what the team is doing. Timmons is always, you know, right at the leaderboard in terms of tackles, in terms of leadership. I mean, he had 13 tackles just the other day in this game. The guy is just an absolute machine and really such a key player on that defense. He really is just as amazing as it gets, at least in my mind.
No, he was. He was incredible yesterday. I think, you know, when you look back at that fourth down play right at the end of the first half, I think that was the epitome of his performance across the board. You know, I mean, he just came into that hole and absolutely lit up Jamaal Charles, and then, of course, had a little bit of help from Will Allen, who was up by the line, and James Harrison, who was chugging off a block. But he gives up some yards in the passing game. He still struggles to cover some tight ends. That's going to be an issue. But, you know, in the running game, he's absolutely fantastic. And when he's in zone coverage, he's okay. That man-to-man worries me with him. But, no, you're absolutely right. I'm really hopeful that somebody recognizes the Pro Bowl caliber year he's having. I just don't know that he's ever going to get in, just because he just doesn't have, you know, inside backers in Pittsburgh just don't typically have the numbers to compete with a lot of other guys in the league. And I'm hopeful he gets in, because he's extremely deserving of it.
Yeah, I agree, and you're right. I mean, the middle linebacker is obviously I think part of the 34 defense, but at the same time, they don't always get all of the stats that people would recognize to put them in voting, like the outside guys would do, because normally your outside backers get more of the sacks and whatnot.
Right.
But I'll tell you somebody else too, Stephon Tuitt. Holy crap! I mean, this guy. He had a sack, he had a forced fumble, he had three tackles. His play has increased big time since Kiesel went down.
Unbelievable. I mean, the force with which he hit
Oh my
Jamar.
God, dude. It was like a freight train.
It was a freight train. I swear I saw steam coming out of his helmet. I mean, he just came with everything and completely leveled Charles and just buckled his knees. And he made a couple plays like that last week too, where he hustled downfield to get in on tackles. And he really is, in some ways, he's kind of almost a miniature. I don't want to say miniature, but he's like a carbon copy a little bit of Hayward. At times, it's hard to tell the difference between the two if you're not paying real close attention on who's coming up enforcing pressure on the quarterback or who's making a play in the running game. And I read this comment, and I think it went along with Antoine Blake a little bit too. And Blake, seven tackles, six solos, had a pass defended. Again, I don't think he's going to be the corner of the future, but you wonder, should you have played a Tuitt earlier in the season? Should you have played Antoine Blake earlier in the season? Because both of these guys are producing right now at the right time. So, it's just one of those, hindsight is 2020 type things. But yeah, man, you're right. Tuitt is just really, really impressive, and makes things look a lot better with the draft, because Shazier's still kind of coming into his own a little bit, I think, because of the injuries. He doesn't quite look like himself just yet.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, it gives me some hope for the future, because obviously, Kiesel's not going to be back anymore. And you get the sense that Harrison, this is pretty much his last hurrah, to really kind of try and get this team to the promised land if he can one last time. So, it's nice to see guys like Blake and like you mentioned, and Will Allen playing well despite the secondary problems in general. I like what I saw out of them. Obviously, the Chiefs' offense is not exactly like you're playing, New England or Denver here. I mean, let's not get
Right,
stupid.
right.
But yeah, I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule. It was nice to see them really step up. So it gave me some hope. Obviously, playing the Bengals next week, they know them very well. So it gave me some hope more than what I had a few weeks ago, even that this defense might be able to do enough come playoff time to help pull their own weight. But tough to see how that goes. Switching over to the offense a little bit. Not a real big day, offensive side of the ball. Ben, 220 yards and passing, one TD. Le'Veon Bell, just 63 yards rushing and the one touchdown. Only had 9 yards receiving. Brown had 72 yards and a TD. But really, the Chiefs really kept the Steelers' offense in check for the most part. The Steelers had to earn a lot of what they got, and the defense was able to step up and make plays when they had to. But this was not a typical, performance from the offense that we were used to seeing based on the last month or so.
No, and when you go back and look at it, they lost the time of possession battle, which isn't a huge thing for me. But the key there was, I think, in the first half, if you take away when Ben took a knee basically to end the first half, if you take away that, I think they only had the ball three times. In Kansas City, I believe, had the ball three times. Each team had, some decently sustained drives, and that's, like you said, the last month or two, we've kind of, been scoring a little quicker, or even when we're driving, we tend to get a few more opportunities offensively. So the opportunities on offense just weren't there yesterday. But with that said, still you gotta love what Antonio Brown's doing. Mike Tomlin said last week he was asked about, stopping Antonio Brown, and basically made the comment, "We've seen everything you could possibly throw at him, and he continues to beat the coverage." Bryant had a really good catch to kind of stretch the field to open the game. And Marcus Wheaton had a couple of grabs too. Heath was obviously huge yesterday, and I think that's going to be a bit of a formula, because as you saw, Le'Veon Bell was not part of the passing game yesterday. I think he had just the one catch. And they were working working very hard to take that away. And hey, if they're going to do that, then that leaves Heath Miller open, and that's fine. I mean, Heath isn't going to outrun anybody, but we'll take first downs. He's a chain stick guy that's going to move the sticks, and that's just fine. So, you know, they came in with a mindset similar to Atlanta, take Le'Veon Bell away on the ground and try to take him away in the air, and that's fine. We have enough guys that can do things. So I'm real curious to see what Cincinnati tries to do with him, knowing how badly he burned him last time.
Well, yeah, okay, and so the fact that Atlanta and the Chiefs obviously are focusing on taking Bell away. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. You know, you always stop the run first, but both of them, they seem to maybe have a little bit of, well, they've had success with it, obviously, but is it a concern now that teams are going to keep trying to stop Bell going into the playoffs now? Because the playoffs, obviously, it's going to be cold if you're outside playing. You're going to have to be able to run the ball. And the Steelers obviously have been, playing amazing when Bell has so many big games. So if they have to throw the ball all the time and not include Bell, is that going to be a problem, do you think?
Well,
I mean, to me, I think it potentially can be, only because, your defenses are going to be better in the playoffs, your offenses that you're facing are going to be better. So if teams are going to be able, if teams are going to stack the box to stop the run, then Ben's going to have to be able to throw it. And while he can, you just hate to see teams being able to make us that kind of one-dimensional.
I think that's always the goal as a defensive coordinator is, and obviously it has been for LeBeau for years, is to make the offense one-dimensional. And the running game has been up and down all year. I mean, they'll have good game, and then just a stinker, and then they'll have a couple bad games, and then great games, and but what's always been there is the pass. And granted, Ben only threw it 25 times yesterday and completed, I think, 18, and didn't really have to throw the ball a whole lot because he just didn't have the ball a whole lot. But I do think they are going to have some semblance of running attack in the playoffs. I don't think you can just go into, let's say, New England or Denver and just, plan on running and gunning. You're going to have to run the ball a little bit. And Bell has proven that he can do it. I'm really kind of hopeful that this team can maybe get a lead on Sunday night and rest some guys in the second half. I think that would be fantastic. But then again,
don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, I just think it's something that's interesting that, the Chiefs are a good defensive team. There's no doubt. I mean, regardless of what their offense plays like, their defense plays well. So I wasn't expecting us to necessarily have a huge offensive performance. But I think some teams have shown that the Steelers' offense does struggle just a bit when Bell isn't really, when Bell isn't gaining a whole lot of yards. I mean, obviously you've got Brown and Bryan and Heath and all these weapons there, and so I'm more confident than ever in the Steelers' ability to throw the ball anytime they need to. But I'm slightly, ever so slightly concerned right now, just heading into the playoffs that, when teams stack the box to stop the run, will the Steelers be able to efficiently move the ball in the passing game? I guess we're pretty much just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But the good thing is that obviously we are in the playoffs now. We still control our own destiny. We win and then we get the division, either the third or fourth seed, depending on how things play out. As far as Todd Haley goes,
#Lightning Rod.
Fire Haley, # blame Haley, take your pick. You have to give the guy credit on offense. Obviously Ben's producing, the wide receiver playing well, Heath is playing well, the offensive line is playing better, but some of the credit has to go to Haley too, right?
It does, and I know it
pains us to say it, man.
It does. It hurts because I'm just not an overall fan of his, but the credit has to go somewhere, and I think you start with him, and I think you can definitely share it with Ben because Ben has, understood, at least for now, look, this is the offense he's in. He's going to have to make the best of it. I do think the addition of Martavis Bryant has been huge for Ben because it's basically said to Todd Haley, look, we got a guy that can go down the field now. We don't have to keep dinking and dunking. and we can stretch the field with him, and it's proven to have worked. So I think he gets a little bit of credit too. I still have issues with Haley's personnel stuff at times, and a little red zone stuff. But Matt, I can't argue. The offense is the top offense in the league. I mean, you know, if this team didn't get in the playoffs this year and still had the number one offense, then I'd be screaming to the heavens that there's got to be a change, because yardage just doesn't mean everything. You know, you got to be able to score touchdowns. You can't kick field goals, especially now heading into the playoffs. So that red zone offense has got to get perfected a little bit. And to be fair, I mean, Heath had a drop in the red zone yesterday that he just doesn't have. And execution is a part of it. So, yeah, I mean, Todd Haley deserves some credit. There's no doubt about it. I will stick my foot in my mouth now because I had to say that, but I'm admitting it.
Well, that's a good step.
It's always the first step is admitting it, yeah.
So looking ahead to the game next week, Bengals coming to Heinz Field. It's going to be rocking. Obviously, so much on the line right now. The Steelers are in, but to win the division and really kind of go into the playoffs on a roll would be huge. Do you expect the Bengals to do anything different than what they normally do? I mean, honestly, I was expecting the Chiefs to run more, or at least try to run more than what they did. So I'm wondering if the Bengals are just going to be the Bengals, and this is going to be your typical AFC North matchup, which I'm kind of assuming that's going to be the case, but you never know if they might try and pull something out of the bag that we haven't seen before, or at least as much before, I should say.
Well, I think it'll be very curious to see, Jeremy Hill, the running back last week, ran very well for them up in Cleveland, I believe it was. And I'll be curious to see what they do with him tonight against Denver, who's very good against the run. If he's, so-so, then I think you have to think that, it's going to be Dalton to A.J. Green, which I don't know that I would ever go away from that combination. I was surprised they didn't throw it more to him. I do think they'll try to get Giovanni Bernard involved a little bit more against us. I think that was a mistake not getting him more involved. But at the same time, the Steelers did a pretty good job on him, too. I think what you want to do, if I'm Dick LeBeau, I want to put this game in Andy Dalton's hands, because I don't think many people have a whole lot of confidence that he's going to pull out games that he has to win. I mean, he's proven over his career now that he can't. And this is pretty much the end for him, I think. If they don't get into the playoffs, or even though they signed him to that contract, I mean, there's going to be a lot of calls for his job, because, regular season's one thing, but playoffs, if you can't produce, nobody wants you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think if I'm the Steelers, I'm obviously going to try and strike early and often and get a lead on this team, make it as one-dimensional as you can. Try and make Andy Dalton beat you. I don't know at this point what the injury status is as we're recording this now as far as Troy and Ike go. But assuming that they're not on the field here, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't looked at anything today yet. But assuming those guys are not on the field, he's going to try and take some shots against our secondary. So it will behoove us to have a similar type of pass rush next week as we did this week.
Well, going back to what you were talking about with Troy and Ike, Will Allen played okay. And
he did. Yeah.
I think the big difference is what you touched on. Alex Smith is not a great deep ball guy, and whereas Dalton can hit the deep ball, especially with Green. So, you wonder, if I'm LeBeau, do I feel better with Troy in there, or do I feel better with Will Allen in there against that type of attack? And the other thing too is you give Troy the extra week to get ready for a playoff game, and certainly the same with Ike. So I'll be really curious to see what type of rotation they go with there. I wouldn't even be surprised to see if Troy does play a little bit, if he's kind of in and out of the game, getting some time off, make him as 100% as possible.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the playoffs, the Steelers have been fortunate, knock on wood here, that they are relatively healthy. The loss of Ike Taylor, in my opinion, I mean, to be honest with you, is not that big of a loss right now. I mean, I'm sure the guys in the locker room are like, oh, my God, we have to have Ike Taylor on the field, but clearly they don't. And we saw last time he was on the field that he just got, burnt like unbelievably. So I would like to see Troy on the field, obviously, more than I would like to see Ike. But even when they're both on the field, this secondary is still the Achilles heel of the defense. The front seven is clearly, I should say clearly, at least in my opinion, outperforming the secondary in general, especially when they're on with the pass rush. So I like the potential of this team. I'm kind of glad we're playing Cincinnati, just because we know them, they know us. There aren't going to be a whole lot of surprises, you know. I mean, we know what Dalton can do and what he can't, which is, I guess, somewhat of a comforting fact, not on what going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, the familiarity is good. I mean, I'm glad it is Andy Dalton. I'm glad it's the Bengals. The irony of this is that this could be Marvin Lewis's last game if things don't go right with other games and we beat the Bengals. And, I mean, this guy's been like a cat. I mean, he's had so many lives coaching the Bengals. It could be it from that respect because, let's face it, they will have underachieved for really 4 years now if that's the case. But, you know, what do they say? Familiarity breeds contempt.
It's contempt. Yeah,
yeah. And there's no doubt these two teams are going to get after it. There's some great quotes yesterday from Ramon Foster talking about it. And winning the division is a big deal. I mean, Tomlin was very straightforward yesterday in the post game. You know that hey, you start the season with goals to win hardware, and one of those bits of hardware is a division championship. And I think they'll go for it. I think you'll see both teams maybe try to pull off something they're not normally known for. Whether that's a bizarre trick play, a fake somewhere here and there. You know, I just think you're going to see that in an effort to get the W.
Yeah, you're right. Now is the time to be timid and go into a shell and revert back to old ways.
No.
The offense has shown that they are willing to and want to attack early and often, even late in the game, to try and put the put the game away. So I fully expect them to come out firing on all cylinders, take some shots early, maybe try and get some completions or some pass interferences, anything to get the crowd into it and hind and keep them into it will be. Obviously, something positive for the entire team going into this week. I expect them to win this game. God, I can't believe I just said that. But I do expect them to win this game. I think maybe they've actually turned the corner now. God, I can't believe I said that too. I just jinxed this. Holy crap. Honestly, in general, I like our chances in this one. So before we wrap this up, give me a quick prediction either way.
Well, I'm with you. I think they've got the Bengals number a little bit here. The Bengals are without Vontaze Burfict, who's a disruptor, a tackling machine in the middle, you know. And I think he's very important to stopping Le'Veon Bell. I don't think Bell has the type of game he did the first time around here, but I think Ben has a good game. And you know, there's a lot of individual records these guys are all shooting for, team records and so on and so forth. And I think they'll be fired up. I think they'll be looking for a division championship. And I would be very surprised if this was not a Steelers victory somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-20, somewhere in that ballpark.
That works for me. I was thinking around like a 27-17 type of deal myself. So, yeah, I could definitely handle that. But before we get on out of here, we want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. We want to thank everybody, obviously, for keep on listening to the show, keep spreading the word, keep reading the articles, taking, part in the polls and voting and that type of stuff. We're very excited. We're happy to be doing this, and we want to make sure everybody has a safe and happy holiday, right?
Absolutely. Yes, as Hanukkah winds down for our Jewish friends and Christmas, right, just a couple days away. And, of course, tomorrow, my personal favorite is Festivus.
Grinch.
What's that?
I said it's Grinchmas.
Grinchmas?
Happy Grinch. Yes, Happy Grinch.
Happy Grinch, too? Well, I'll be celebrating with my aluminum pole and feats of strength and that stuff. But, if you want a Steel City Blitz vinyl decal for your car or your office or your man cave or something, shoot me a direct message on Twitter at SteelDad or shoot us an email. You can find it right at the website, contactscblitz@gmail.com. I've got a number of them that contacted me last night. I'm going to mail those out. It's free. I'll even pay for the postage. And,
Santa, how nice of you.
I know. I'm in the giving mood. You know, it's Christmas and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, happy holidays to everybody out there, and as always, thanks for the support.
Absolutely. We love doing this. We're excited to do it. We are obviously all volunteers here, but it's a labor of love to do this.
Yep.
And stay tuned in the next coming weeks, because I'm putting together an epic blooper show to be aired sometime probably after the season is over. But it's going to be something where it's probably going to be rated R. I'm just letting everybody know, because
yes,
I tend to swear a lot in the beginning. So these shows, even though you don't hear too much on the air. But as you can attest, Mark, my interest to the show usually takes several takes.
Yeah, we, well, I don't want to say we here. Here's what you'll hear. You'll hear Matt starting it out, screwing up, and then you'll hear my massive laugh because I'm expecting it, but yet it's still funny. I look forward to the blooper reel. That's going to be good.
Absolutely, it is. But I will leave you all with that. We will get up on out of here. So thanks, everyone, for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech.
Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at SCBlitz or on SteelCityBlitz.com and use the Contact Us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.